Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Yeah. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Terry Diabolik, a.k.a. Darren Bresnitz, sitting across from the new proud owner of an iPhone that doesn't really work, DJ Never Forget, a.k.a. Greg Bresnitz.
Hey, and just to show that things are going to be different in the next 100 episodes, we played two opening songs.
Yeah, but there's no reason why. It's a theme.
They don't know.
A theme song off of the Snacky Tunes
theme. But maybe
theme.
They'll tune into to next week and be like, maybe they will play two songs again. That's how you keep people coming back.
I don't think that's what it is.
Anyway, so that opening song was from our today's musical guest, the Static Jacks. Hello, boys.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Who sound awesome. And
the theme song off was from our food guest, the Big Gay Ice Cream
Truck and Shop.
Yes.
Right? We have Brian Petroff and Douglas Quint. I'm assuming he was running the store.
He's at the shop, yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about the store? Well, let's go back. Let's talk about the theme song, and then we'll get into the story of the Big Gay Ice Cream Truck.
Okay. The song was written by and recorded by Jane Wiedlin. She's the guitarist for the Go-Go's. She's written a number of their songs, including Our Lips Are Sealed. And she's been friends with Doug for many years. And right after we started the truck, you know, everybody jokes about what you play on the truck because it's all the bells and the rinky-dink songs and stuff like that. So we thought we needed to play something a little bit more fun. And actually, that's an extension of what's in our shop now, that kind of music. And
which is incredible.
Thank
By
you.
The way, I think the on-loop music is what drives all those ice cream guys to fight each other because I think it makes them mentally crazy.
And there is YouTube footage, if you haven't seen it, ice cream guys.
Turf Wars, man.
Yeah, totally.
All right, we'll get down to this in a second. So let's go back. It's 2000... When did you first get the idea? 2009.
Yes.
So food trucks are blowing up.
Yes.
Blowing up. And did you see the trend and you said, well, we're just going to figure out a food truck? Or did you have the idea to do an ice cream? Which came first? Pizza.
Kind of neither, I guess. What happened was in the winter of 2009, like early in the year, January, my partner Doug got a message from a friend of his saying, hey, if you want to drive an ice cream truck this summer, get in touch with me because I can hook you up with one.
What was he currently doing at the time of the request?
Doug or the person who?
Doug.
He's a professional musician and a classical musician. He plays bassoon. He was currently, at the time, he was getting his doctorate in musical performance. He had already gone to Juilliard for his master's and stuff.
I only ask because I've never gotten that call. So I just want to know what type of world you exist in where you get the old ice cream truck phone call.
Right.
They're very lucrative.
No, I know, but that's what how do I break in is really my question.
We know people who know people.
Yes.
So
yeah.
We'll hook you up.
This truck fell off a truck.
Oh, my God.
But the person who contacted him, she was a flutist. Or is a flutist that he knew from Juilliard. She had been driving a truck and got some notoriety about it. The New York Times wrote about her. You know, she's like this sexy chick in wife beaters and cowboy hats and stuff like that.
The hard-hitting journalism of the Times.
Yeah, she's played with, I think she's played with like Jay-Z and stuff like that.
Oh, hip-hop flautist?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so he didn't have anything lined up in the summer and took advantage of it because we basically decided it's the weirdest thing you could do. Is have fun with an ice cream truck over the summer.
It's a good story at the end of the day.
Exactly. Even if it fails, you know, day one, you can at least say you did it.
Yeah.
And so long story short, we realized we needed to kind of change it up a bit.
A little branding.
Yeah. So the first thing was the menu idea that, you know, ice cream trucks have been doing the same thing for decades. Same trucks, same ice cream, same toppings, same song. So let's have fun with it. And we basically would check it out in the morning, put up all our shit on it, you know, new toppings and different things that we were creating.
It was a different truck each morning?
Pretty much, yeah. We never knew what truck we were going to get because it was a depot of about 15 trucks.
That's probably the most nerve-wracking thing of starting a new food business. Never knowing, like, how the machine works. I imagine each machine had its own little temperament.
Exactly. Little quirks. Each truck did or didn't work. You know, there were once he kind of stalled in the middle of Sixth Avenue.
Were there like power moves of people who had been in the game for a while who knew like which truck to get?
the elder statesmen, yes, they had their own trucks, and as the newbie, Doug was kind of
the
relegated to the
of the mobile. So you launch,
yes,
and I feel that you launched, and then I immediately heard about you.
Like the so did I.
No, but the success came pretty quickly in the notoriety.
It was a little bizarre because, you know, we had our jobs and lives outside of this. This was just kind of some fun project. We launched.
What were you doing before?
July 2009. I had been in corporate training, event planning for about 15 years.
Okay.
And for retail companies. And I did that actually up through last July when we decided to open the shop. That's when I finally...
took the plunge?
Took the plunge.
Are you happier?
Oh, my God, yes. And so, yeah, we immediately got onto Facebook and Twitter and started using social media to kind of promote ourselves. You know, we weren't spending money on marketing or anything like that. So right away, we were pretty fortunate about the stuff. I mean, I do feel like it was... definitely the right place, right time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it was right when food trucks were starting out. It was right when people were talking about Twitter and other social media tools as marketing for businesses and stuff like that.
And let's not forget your awesome branding.
Yes. Thank you.
I mean, the rainbow ice cream cone is fantastic.
But the colors are not in the order of the rainbow. But
well, you're making your own statement. And then also getting the foodie blessing from Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
Does not hurt. Now, did you know him before he came to the show?
We met him maybe a year prior to the shop opening, and had just stayed in touch with him and his wife, became friendly with them, and by the time the store came around to opening, we had this crazy idea of him donning a priest outfit and blessing the shop. So we thought, just ask, you know, all he can do is say no, right?
Right, yeah.
And lo and behold, he said yes.
Yeah, he's game.
Yeah, he's game. Yeah, exactly. And since then, we've you know, we've been on his show, the new show, The Layover
which
and,
I saw, yeah, which is great. You're in great company there. M. Wells is in there. And
yeah,
M. Wells. And you know, do you find that when it plays on TV, you find a jump in business?
Oh yeah, regardless of the show. I mean, because we've been on Food Network shows and Cooking Channel shows, and and you always see that kind of influx of people on Facebook or Twitter, like, oh, I just saw you, I wish you were in my town, I can't wait to try you. And it's really, I mean, it's really great to hear from everywhere. And in a way, you can follow where your shows are airing based on that trend. Like, if we get a spike of UK people, then we know something aired.
And somebody owes us royalties. let's take a break, and then let's come back and we'll talk about the jump from the truck to the store.
Sure.
And the future.
Thank you.
We're going to listen to Pineapple Princess.
Oh. Annette Funicello singing for Disney Records.
Amazing.
Someday we're gonna marry and you'll be my pineapple queen. I saw a
It's so good. That was just Pineapple Princess, Annette Funicello, one of the many amazing songs you can find in heavy rotation at the Big Gay Ice Cream truck and shop. And we have Brian from the Big Gay Ice Cream. When's it going to be the Empire? How many location properties do you need to be an Empire?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think you need cities.
It's not about numbers in a city. It's number of cities.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think so.
Territory.
Well, territory.
Because anything before that, I think they would just refer to as a local chain.
Mm-hmm.
So Empire.
All right. So speaking of which, you had the truck in 09.
Yes.
First season, gangbusters. Total gangbusters. So you shut the truck down, and you were dormant during the winter. What did you do in between the first and second season, and when did you start getting the idea to open up a shop?
So the first year was complete hysterics. It was a lot of fun. We were flying by the seat of our pants. We didn't know what we were
job,
doing.
Did you leave your job during the day to do the truck?
I would get up in the morning and go to work. He would get up and go to the depot out in Brooklyn at the time. When I was done with work, I'd go down, give him a dinner break. So the first time he'd be able to actually get off the truck, pee, eat, all that sort of stuff.
Beautiful.
Then I'd go about my way for the evening, getting ready for the next day. Prepping toppings, caramelizing bacon, you know, whatever it is that we were going to do the next day. And he would go back on the truck and finish off the day and, you know, go back to the depot, clean it, dismantle it, take everything down because we didn't know if we'd have that truck the next day.
Ugh, which is insane.
Yeah. So after the first season, and ice cream trucks are seasonal, so our permit only went through October anyway. And so the winter was about.
Could you buy your own ice cream truck? Is that an option?
You can buy a truck, certainly, but you could never find a legal permit.
Right.
That was part of what we were. We didn't have any food experience, so knowing what it took to actually get a mobile food vending license, to get the permits required and stuff like that was all completely new. And what we found out right away is that there's a lottery system for the food truck permits, and it's a lottery where there are no permits to give out. So
it's like taxi medallions.
Yeah.
So you're done with the first season.
So the first season we were just like, you know, WTF, it just happened for the last 3 months because it was pretty crazy and fun. And then we realized we were going to go back out and do it all over again. So it was all about, let's hone in on those skills. Let's get our system down, our food down, all business acumen, and figure out how to make it more professional. Season three was about, okay, then this has to be our lives going forward because it's way too much fun to give up.
You're through the looking glass.
Yeah.
You can't go back.
Yeah. And we were really fortunate to have met a lot of people in the food industry over those 3 years. The other thing was our following kept going up over the wintertime. Even though we weren't out, even though we weren't on TV or anything like that, you know, we'd shut down in October. When we reopened in April, we'd have like 2,000 or 3,000 more Twitter followers or something like that.
Because it was like an event. It was either you got it or you didn't.
Yeah.
So then you decide to open the store.
Yeah, that happened almost as kind of haphazardly as getting the truck. It was one of those, a friend of ours who, Luke Holden, he runs Luke's Lobster here in the city. Great lobster rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Called us up one day and he's like, you know, there's a business closing on our block in the East Village. It's a juice bar and it'd be kind of perfect for you. And we were like, there, done.
Yeah.
So we ran down and
because your location is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, to be on that block, which is an amazing food block, you could just walk from
who else is on
restaurant
it?
To restaurant. Caracas, Luke's Lobster, Porchetta, Pilos.
It's insane.
Butter Lane Cupcakes is next door. There's a funeral parlor on the other side of us.
Well, after you spend all 10 years of eating
exactly, exactly. Oh, we found out through the tenants in our building who'd been there a long time that apparently back in the day, our shop location was the florist shop for the
funeral
home that's next door to us. So,
both colorful in different ways.
Exactly.
So you open the store, and can you tell the listeners at home what you are greeted with when you walk into the store? What magical drawing is there?
You're greeted with a life-size, giant, white unicorn mural painted on one of our walls, which is bedazzled with 6,000 Swarovski crystals on it.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So when you were writing your business plan, you're like, this this has to be in here. I can't see anywhere we could cut from the budget.
I'm willing to eat ramen for 1,000 more crystals.
Exactly. Look, we can give up a machine, but as long as we have the unicorn.
Right. You know. And the
unicorns and winged kittens. That has to be somewhere in there, too.
To the ask, did your partner finish his PhD, or did he give it up for the ice
cream? He actually ended up stopping that. Because he was doing both for the first year. Actually, he was doing both performing and working the truck the first year, which was a complete nightmare for him. So the second year was more of a, this day I am an ice cream guy, this day I am a musician.
And a business owner.
And a business owner.
He's not just a,
Yeah. And then year three, when we decided to do the shop, it was, something has to give way.
Does he still play?
On occasion, yes.
Yeah.
I think every so often he'll get the Jones for it. So, and he recently did, which is one of those songs on there.
The next track we're going to play.
Okay.
Now, one of the things that we...
No one else heard that conversation. What is it that he did?
So Doug is a bassoonist, and he has been for about 20 years that he's lived here in New York, over 20 years. And he's played in orchestras, symphonies around the world. He's good friends with Stephen Merritt from the Magnetic Fields, so he's performed with him, toured with him in Europe for the Show Tunes albums, album. Like I said, he knows Jane and the rest of the Go-Go's. And recently he hooked up with a guy by the name of Michael Hurst, who wrote an album called Songs for Ice Cream Trucks.
Okay.
And his newest one is Songs for Animals or Songs for Bizarre Animals. And it's an upcoming album. And the music that Michael wrote for him is based on this fish called the blobfish, which is exactly what it sounds like.
Like gelatinous mold.
It's just a gelatinous blob that has like a frog face on it, but it swims around. And so that, what he's performing contra bassoon, not bassoon. So it's a giant thing that sits on the floor. And has deep resonance.
It sounds awesome. So, and how often are you eating ice cream? Every day?
Tasting ice cream every day, yes.
How often are you sitting down to enjoy a cone? Are you still doing it?
You know, that was really hard because even on the truck, you were so busy that you never actually ate ice cream that often. You know, you kind of tasted it throughout the day to make sure it was still what it should be, that that the toppings were working and the creations were good. And now that we have a staff and stuff, we can concentrate on the stuff that's not on the menu, creating new flavors or new sundaes. And
what are some of your favorite flavors? Because you have interesting things called like the Salty Pimp and things like that. Tell us about some of the different ice cream flavors you have.
Well, we're soft serve still in the shop. Yep. I mean, we haven't left that mold yet. And so right now with our machines, we have vanilla, chocolate, and then we've started doing some flavored soft serves as well. Coffee is a really popular one. We tried beet. We both loved it. I don't think the general public liked it as much as we did.
You'd have to call it something else.
Yeah.
Can't be beet.
Veselka flavor. I don't know.
And I love how you serve it in a everything. If it's a cone, it's in a dish.
Yeah. But some of them just have to de facto go in that dish. We do one that we smash in pretzels dip it in chocolate. So it looks like this blobfish, but that goes into a dish.
And I think Doug has the most aggressive caramel adding. He just gets into the ice cream and just
he stabs it
and just annihilates it, just stuffs it full of caramel.
Yeah, he's watched Basket Case I think a little too many times. So
awesome. So well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
The store is located at, what's the address?
125 East 7th Street between 1st Avenue and Avenue A in East Village.
And Twitter and MySpace, Facebook is all...
All Big Gay Ice Cream. MySpace?
I don't know. Nobody? Oh. I'm sorry. And what is your
friend? I'm sorry. What? I'm very sorry.
This conversation is over.
Your Friendster profile?
Big Gay Ice Cream is the Twitter handle. Because the gods of Facebook won't let us change our business name, it's still Big Gay Ice Cream Truck on there.
Maybe if you get big enough, bigger gay ice cream, you can meet someone who will help you.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to the truck is coming back out in April.
Truck will be out, yep, this spring, starting
and
again.
It, is it the same rigmarole where you're just getting a different truck every day?
Yeah, because we're not going to buy it, so...
How long does it take to become an Elder Statesman?
I think Doug has some.
He's got some cred,
yeah.
Some cred in the street game.
Say, exactly. He's got some pull. Yeah. Is that a soft serve joke?
It is now. And just one last question. Have you guys been in any of the turf wars in the ice cream truck?
No, we've actually been pretty fortunate, although we did once get a cease and desist letter from Mr. Softy.
I heard he's pretty soft.
Anyway, so we're going to play some more music from the shop. We've got Blobfish, Ding Dong the Witch is Dead, and...
Well, let's specify that Ding Dong the Witch is Dead is Klaus Nomi. That is not the Wizard of Oz.
And Blobfish is a song that Doug played on.
Blobfish is the song that Doug is playing contrabassoon on.
And then Somebody Stole My Dog.
Somebody Stole My Dog.
Off Stack.
Go blues.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I would recommend, no matter what time of the year, to go there if you're hanging for something sweet.
Yeah, we are year-round. So.
It's fantastic. It's and if the lines during the wintertime are any indication, the summer, the truck is going to be bananas.
God help us.
God help us. Well, that's why you hire 18-year-olds out of, you know, the new school. Who just...
And we're going to leave it on that.
Thank you.
Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market. Whether you are cooking for one or for a crowd, Fairway Market literally has everything you need for a fantastic meal. But if you don't feel like cooking, no worries, they cater. Check out fairwaymarket.com for more information, and be sure to check the new blog, On Our Plate, for weekly specials, health tips, and recipes.
That smattering of music from the Big Gay Ice Cream Truck and Shop is a fantastic way to please the ears all day.
So, yes. That's actually true. It's like it.
It's nice. It's
do people ever, one last question, people ever hang out in the shop and just listen to music? Or do they get their cone and they leave?
We only have two seats, so it's a little hard for them to hang
but
out.
But if you stick around long enough, one of you sings. It's awesome.
Yes. It's hard not to kind of
speaking of singing,
move along.
We got the Static Jackson here.
Not bad.
Not bad. Working on it.
Transition 101.
Yeah. Transition 101. Yeah. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Jersey natives, now New Yorkers, most of you?
No, still
New Jersey.
Still Jersey.
Yeah.
Where are you representing in Jersey?
No, better question. What diner do you represent in New Jersey?
I represent Vicky's Diner.
In Westfield, New Jersey. Vicky's, yeah.
Yeah? What do you get? What's special?
Their cheeseburgers are amazing.
Good tuna melt.
Yeah, they have a great tuna melt.
Diner tuna melt in Jersey, that might be my last meal.
Wait a second.
It's fantastic.
But I still want to know where you represent in Jersey, where you live. North, south?
Oh, central. Central Jersey.
So
Northern
that would mean if you were rooting for a hockey team, you'd be rooting for?
Rangers.
The Devils. Come on. I mean, they're not.
Rangers.
Oh, here's see, this is
and the that, wait, and that's the end of Snackitude.
That's the end of Snackitude.
Because we are both Flyers fans, and you guys can go.
You watch the Winter Classic?
Oh, yeah.
You watch 24/7?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Well, no, you know what? Actually, I watched the first three 24/7, and then I didn't watch the last one, because I was like, I do not need to watch the Flyers lose again.
No, they actually win in 24/7.
Yeah.
Rewrote it.
Yeah, they rewrote
it. That's
the
way the refs won, at least.
Yeah. So welcome.
Conspiracies.
How much time do you spend commuting into New York City, or do you guys have like a home base set up in Jersey, like clubs and shows you play, or how does it work?
We used to commute into New York a lot because before we had any like representation or label support or anything, we used to go to Union Square and just we busked every single day, and that's actually that helped us get a lot of our team members, I feel like, who we have now. So we did
give us one story,
yeah,
and a shout out opportunity as well.
Story from busking. They're like crazy ones about like the homeless people that we
give us a positive. The crazy ones.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, this is positive. There is a homeless guy who in Union Square who hates Brad Pitt. That's not the positive part. The positive part is that whenever we would get like shit from other performers, maybe who wanted to come in, like when we were on a quick break or whatever, this homeless guy would go and like yell at them, like, "Nah, this is their spot. Get out of here!" And people awesome. Would leave.
Yeah,
JR. Shout out to JR.
And now
JR.
He sells merch for you guys.
And there we go.
Now
so
he's awesome.
He's our
so
lawyer.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that's a true New York story. Yeah.
So it's your lawyer.
Yeah,
so you pay him more money.
Ah, I hate Brad Pitt. Pay them more money. Yeah.
So you know, things started getting better, and then you just kept things more Jersey, or you realized you didn't have to spend as much time like.
It's really a matter of like we don't have any money and we're not making money, so we have to live at home still. But New York is it's like, you know, with no traffic, a 20-minute drive or train ride. So like
PATH train.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like the PATH train. And
What's it like busking in Union Square?
It was always an adventure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as good now because like apparently all the rules changed. We kind of stopped doing it because they made you stand like right on the curb where all the cars were always racing by, and you couldn't hear anything because there were just like trucks idling and stuff.
Just got real tense in here.
These food trucks.
We're not allowed back.
What was it like that first day that you're setting up? Did you just like, we're going to go to Union Square and busk, or did you have to talk to somebody?
No,
we just did it. It was kind of like scary. I guess I'm just gonna start singing really loudly right now.
Was it all acoustic, or did you have any like small amplifiers?
Well, we would bring a briefcase and drumsticks and a tambourine, and I would like bang on all these things, and we would all be singing, and there would be two acoustic guitars, and we used to bring a little amp for a bass, like a wireless. But that got shut down pretty quickly because we figured out the rules pretty quickly. Like there are certain areas of on the subway where you just can't do it because you need a permit. But then there are certain times of the day where they'll like be kind of lenient with you. But then if you have anything electrical, they don't joke around with that stuff. They make you shut it. You need a permit for anything like that. Mm. So we stopped bringing that.
So that pan flute guy's got a permit.
Yeah. He's
made a career out of that. I mean, every day since I've been here for
hustling,
6 years.
Man.
Yeah. Why don't we hear a song? Let's knock it out of tune. Something. What are you guys gonna pick?
Hey, why don't you something from the busking days?
Should we do one of the old busking ones?
Yeah, which.
Or not?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Don't let them back down.
I was just trying. Yeah. I was trying for something. I was trying for a nice transition. Unlike.
Let's do Walls.
Yeah, we'll do Walls.
Which way?
Would this go?
Here.
I guess.
Okay. I don't have the briefcase. It has since been retired. But I'll.
Do you want to use that pizza?
I could maybe bang these together in the. Some sort of. No, I'm gonna use my body parts.
Alright, here we go. Static Jax live on Static Tunes.
Alright. Do you need headphones?
No.
Alright. Okay. Here, you might want to move.
Now you're gone away from me. Honey, darling, sweetheart, tie me down before I drift away. I never believed you could be wrong. I never believed anything at all. But one day you and I will go to sleep and not wake up. I wish everyone so kind, if all they have is nothing much at all. Now I dream
name. My heart's dead anyway. I build the walls up deep inside my mind, and I'm keeping the world out as long as I'm alive. But one day you and I will go to sleep and not wake up. Where can we go from here, and how am I supposed to give a fuck?
Great, nice. Sounds this is a little different from the record.
How did you not blow your voice out?
No, but I was like
busking.
Busking. Yeah,
I
yeah.
did. That was a I big very problem. Much did. It was a big problem because I like would have to like not do it before we would like if we had have like a show on Friday. I could only do it like Monday and Tuesday because otherwise I would just like have no voice.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let you have like any amplified vocals at all for
no, no.
definitely not.
Not even like one of those old like 1940s, you know, rowing
once
mega.
Once they saw cable,
I guess
cops came.
No, no, no. That's
he means just like the cone.
Yeah, the cone.
Oh, yeah.
I guess. Yeah, yeah, that was a,
we could have used you guys back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, so that's a free one, guys.
Thanks.
So how did you go from busking to Fearless Records?
How does anyone get to Fearless Records? No,
through El Paso.
I don't even know how. That was the last piece of the puzzle, actually, in our career.
Are we missing some pieces?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Like on the strength of the busking and the EP we had released, we went down to South by. Yeah, it was self-released. It was called Laces, and we went down to South by Southwest, like kind of on our own.
What year?
Oh, man, that was 2010, right?
2010.
Yeah, 2010. And we came back with our booking agent, Heather Colker at Paradigm. And that was, like, the first major, piece of the puzzle anyone who had, like, decided they were going to take us on in the industry.
Except for our lawyer, JR. Yeah.
Except for our lawyer.
Yeah. JR.
Yeah. He was on day one. JR, man, he's been there since day one.
He's really been a treasure. And then it just kind of, like, everything else fell into place, and Fearless was, like, the last piece, and we've just kind of been touring on and off as much as we can ever since. And
you guys are going across the pond in February.
Yeah,
it's like a week actually. It's like a week from now.
Oh, it's, we're going to be there for like a month in a week.
That's amazing. And where are you
going? First time over there?
We were in London over Thanksgiving actually for the week, playing a bunch of shows. When they weren't on holiday break because they don't celebrate.
They don't celebrate. Yeah.
Nobody cared.
Nobody cared.
Where are you guys? Where are you guys absconding to?
We start in Paris on February 8th.
Yeah.
And then we move
Heard
around.
Of it.
Yeah.
Heard of it.
We move around Germany, Switzerland,
Netherlands, Belgium,
and then we go back to England.
Yeah. Any food you're excited to try while you're over there?
What were the things that we ate when we were like? I don't think we tried anything.
Belgian waffles and chocolate.
We're excited about going to Belgium.
You got to go get those salty beef bagels on the Enderbrook Lane in London.
The bagels are not made out of beef.
Last time.
I know how that sounded. There's beef in between the bagels. Okay. But they're not baked.
Yeah, whatever you say.
Yeah.
we'll tell you. Yeah. No, London's great. London's great for food. And are you excited to go to Europe? I mean, this is big.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of amazing things that we're doing over there that we've never even come close to doing anything like that.
Such
before.
As?
So, well, the reason we planned this tour was because we were on tour with the Wombats through all of the fall in America, and they invited us to play three shows with them in London, and one of them's at Brixton Academy, which is like...
Wow.
Five, yeah, so that awesome. We built the tour around that. And then we're playing with like a show with our good friend Devin Thierault, who I think was in here.
Yeah, he was here two or last week.
Oh, yeah, Devin was in here two weeks ago
with
the wonderful Ali in Georgia.
Yeah. We listen. He's a funny guy, Devin.
He's a funny guy. Yeah. He's loud. I mean, his music is.
Yeah,
he's got personality.
He's got personality.
He does. We love Devin, and we're excited to be there with him. And so
good
we're
friends,
just you know.
Good friends Howler.
So did you find that like Howler, you had a couple anchor shows, and then like once you were over there, it all just kind of began to like roll out.
Exactly. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Do you have a European team as part of your puzzle?
Yeah, we have a UK and European like booking agent.
Shout out.
Steve Zapp. Shout out.
This is the time. This is the time.
This is the time. It's time to get it all
out. See you next week.
Yes.
Steve Zapp.
What are, you guys got a van? What are you guys, how are you guys getting around?
Well, here we do have a van, and actually to go to connect the puzzle, we a lot of the money that we used on the van we made while busking. So that was actually very profitable for us.
Yeah.
But in Europe we I think we have a driver who we used last time in a Sprinter because we can't drive over there like
you can't drive. Mess.
I mean we could, but I think no one felt comfortable with renting a van and having just us drive for that whole time.
I wouldn't trust you.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't trust us either.
If you guys could see these faces, I wouldn't trust
them. They're from Jersey. Have you ever seen anyone who drives from Jersey? It's terrible.
I mean, right, we're already on the left side of the road in New Jersey.
Yeah. Why don't we get another song?
They'd be like, make a left turn. Like, I can't. I'm not allowed.
Just cutting people off.
Exactly.
Why don't we play something off the record?
Sure.
Static Jacks, here we go again live on Snacky
Tunes. Sure. My thighs here. Yeah. I could bang on. Is that? No, that won't resonate. Well, oh, maybe I'll do a little of that. There we go. There we go.
Tone change.
Is that two? No, that'll be good.
There sounds like a kit.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. What's that song called?
Into the Sun.
It's what we played at the opening.
Yeah.
People just tuning in, they might want to know.
Yeah. People just tuning in.
Actually, we usually just do podcasts.
Though. Yeah. When you
look pretty dumb.
When you write a jam like that, what's the process, and at what point do you look over each other and you go, we just wrote a killer jam?
That one literally happened like that, where we were in the basement like trying to figure out that chorus. And then when someone played that lead part, we literally looked at each other and went, "Oh, that's a, like that's right, great."
I'm sorry. What's the lead part?
the like whatever the chorus. Yeah.
But like the working title of that song was Pop City. That's how we felt about that.
I mean,
it turned out to be not at all. But in the originally, we were like,
this is
the poppiest thing.
This is gold.
Yeah.
So pop when you guys, gold. When you guys write something like that, and then I know you did the record with Chris Shaw, who's like Ted Leo, who are huge fans.
Oh, good. Do you like Ted Leo?
Weezer.
Well, I mean, you know, I call him on Sundays. We trade vegan recipes.
Oh my god.
But when you write a song like that, how does someone like Chris come in and like kind of hone it, or you know, help you guys elevate it to like another level?
It was all, I guess, like in his production, like the way, I mean, he's an engineering genius, I think. I mean, he just really gets like a loud, full sound. Like, you know, he engineered Weezer's Blue album.
Ugh.
And like the guitars on that are like unbelievable.
I mean, yes.
To this day.
One of my all time favorites.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to, I mean, have that on your resume pretty much gave us an idea of what.
You ever hear the Blue album?
In. Yeah.
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 I did that.
He exactly. He literally had stories about, like, he'd be like, "Oh, yeah, me and Bob." And we were like, "Bob?" And he's like, "Oh, sorry, Bob Dylan." Like,
yeah.
Right. We were just hanging out and we were like,
like me and Ted?
Yeah, like you and Ted.
Yeah. It's never you and Ted. It's me and Mia.
Me and Mia.
There we go.
There it is.
But yeah.
And so now you guys gearing up. You guys going to meet us down in Austin, South By?
I really hope so. We haven't been there since that first original time. And I think, I mean, it's like, unless we're offered like an amazing tour through all of March, we really want to go.
It's,
you didn't think about record cycles when you were writing that first record. Yeah. And it didn't like really factor in like an August release. What does that really mean?
I know. Screwed the pooch on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. It seems to be working out for you guys quite well.
It's good,
And what are you looking forward to doing? What are you guys hoping to do? Just full U.S. tour after Europe and just
keep... I mean, yeah, we're always looking to tour. It's kind of like, offer us a tour. We'll go on it.
Maybe contact JR.
Yeah,
right? The details.
No, dude.
Is there a new driver?
Yeah, too bad he blew that Moneyball sync job. And hopefully maybe one day tour with label mates, ATDI.
Yes, that would be interesting.
I have to try, man.
God, that would be
wow. Right. Yeah. Well, we want to thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Shout out to your publicist. She was relentless in the best way possible.
It sounds like you have a good team.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a good team.
Yeah.
And are the busking days over? Are you going to do like a 10-year busking anniversary?
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, we love to busk. It's just it seems like the law got a lot stricter. Like we never used to get kicked out, and then the last few times we went, they would make us move, and we were like, this is ridiculous.
They have, like, markers now on the ground where you can go, and it's, like, right in the crosswalk.
It's all that
like,
long hair, guys.
I know.
Short haircuts and ties. You won't get kicked out of anywhere.
Yeah. It's true.
That's really
so why don't we close out with one more song?
Wait a second.
Okay.
How can people find you?
Oh, yeah.
What is your Friendster profile?
Friendster? I don't think I was born for that.
Oh, come on.
We're a little too young to be dated.
Yeah.
No, it's just facebook.com/thestaticjacks or thestaticjacks.com, or you can email us, you know, thestaticjacks@gmail.com.
There you go.
Gmail.
Twitter @thestaticjacks.
We do have a MySpace. I don't know if anyone used it since 2007.
And where can they buy the record?
The record you can buy, I think, like anywhere, like definitely online, Amazon, iTunes. It should be in like your local Barnes & Noble and FYE.
Strawberry, Sam Goody, et cetera.
Sam Goody.
Coconut Records.
Oh,
Coconut
my God, we had a Sam Goody in our town for like years.
Peaches, yes. All the when you needed a fruit name to be a record store back in the 80s and 90s. Well, guys, thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. We'll be
Big
back.
Big A Ice Cream.
Big A Ice Cream. And we'll be back next week. You won't.
No, I won't. But next week is Edie Sedgwick, the band.
And the actress. Surprise. No, just kidding.
So, yeah, you guys are all like,
oh, wow, Nurse Jackie is
Yeah,
here.
No.
And stay tuned for 2 weeks for our third annual
Jordana
Rothman Time Out New York trend report.
Also just a quick shout out to everyone who sent in the kind well wishes and words after the show last week.
Really? I only got an email from Mom.
That's it.
Mom, right. Thanks, Mom.
But I was trying to make it seem more important than we were, but we're not that important.
Mom's pretty important.
And and we'll be down at South By. So if you guys go down there, we're doing a big old panel. Snacky Tunes Live. So here we go. Stack Jacks, one last time. What do you take? What's the name of the song?
This is Young Guns, and it's a new one that'll be on an EP coming out later this year.
Is it about the movie?
It is about the movie.
Young Guns 2.
He wasn't born there.
You see what you did, yeah.
Light. Escape the nightmare that became your whole life. Keep it silent while the whole house sleeps. And you whisper so softly to me. And you say, like you wanted me to, but on a larger scale, these things might not do. But we'll ignore them like the brats from your school, whose little glances and venom comments will only drive us to strike out that much harder. I don't really want to run, but I come undone looking at me like you don't want to do it. When the sun comes up, we'll be far from fucked. Pretty soon you'll see that I knew it. I don't know what to say. It won't be better if we stay. Young guns, young artillery. This is a nightmare, welcome to my life. Where's the silence I thought we agreed? And now you're screaming and crying to me. You say, I didn't really want to run. Now I come undone, try to tell you that I didn't want to do it. Now the sun's come up and we're totally fucked. Pretty soon you'll see that I knew it. I don't know what to say. It won't be better if we stay. So someone tell me where we're going. Always feeling we're never knowing. And if I look behind me, I will see you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.